glad that you were able to make it tonight. And to be honest, I'm much more at home with a group about this size. our Bible reading this evening comes from Philippians chapter 4 and verse 5. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 5, and we're reading just verses 5 to 9. The Apostle Paul, speaking by inspiration of the Spirit of God in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 5, says, "Let your moderation be known unto all men, the Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you." Just we'll come to the Lord in prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, that, Father, we have in your word wonderful instruction, Lord, on, Father, how to live our Christian lives. Yet, Lord, we know, Father, in living our Christian life, it is not something of our own determination or will. But, Father, it is as we yield our will unto Thee, the old man's self, it is Christ within. And, Father, we do pray, Lord, as we work our way through these scriptures this evening, that, Father, the Lord Jesus Christ would work within, that, Father, we would be willing to walk in the Spirit, that, Father, our hearts would be open to this word tonight, that, Lord, you would illuminate to us, we pray. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Just before we get into the message this evening, this morning I was remiss in bringing greetings from Bonneville. I'm sorry. I know that's the usual thing, but it slipped my mind. So greetings to Springwood Baptist Independent Church, okay, from Bonneville Bible Church. And it's a privilege to be here. Enjoyed lunch. And, you know, I thought afterwards, I was talking to an old Irish preacher, and he said, the hardest message to do at a Bible conference is the message after Sunday lunch. He says, Christians are full of roast beef and unbelief. But I'm glad you've come out tonight and we can have a good time in the Bible. Well, this morning we spoke about the faithfulness of God and the fact of his faithfulness and how his faithfulness affects us. And tonight it is more like a Bible study rather than a message, but it is similar and along the same vein. I was reflecting upon this afternoon the two messages that the Lord has put upon my heart to bring to Springwood this weekend. And something that I was sad about was that it didn't mention the name of Christ often. And I thought back on these two messages, but Christ is truly in everything that we say. He is in his word beginning to end. He is the living word. And at Bonneville, we're very careful to ensure that our preaching and our teaching is Christ-centered. It's not often you'll come to our church and not hear the gospel and the wonders of the Saviour. But the Lord has got something else for us this evening. And, you know, in considering the faithfulness of God and tonight's topic, Christ is still preeminent and prominent. I'd like tonight to talk about the Christian's rest or peace. And sometimes it is so elusive that you know, it seems that there are issues and matters in our life and our heart that take away that peace that we have within. Never the peace that we have with God, that is forever settled when we receive Jesus Christ as Saviour, but it is that peace of God that settles upon our heart. Sometimes that is taken away by circumstances in the world. A Christian has a wonderful assurance of blessing in eternity and being a child of God, a special possession of the Saviour. Yet there are times when we can identify with the psalmist, And the psalmist says these words, I think, in maybe a worryful situation. He says, "Oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then would I fly away and be at rest." How often have we experienced circumstances where we think, "Oh, would that I had wings like a dove, that I could fly away"? The psalmist hit the nail on the head. There are matters and situations and circumstances that arise in our life that cause us concern and upset over certain matters. Sleep is stolen from us. Our thoughts are troubled. Well, it seems that this is the way that it always has been, or at least since the fall of man in the garden, that sin has entered the world and the peace of God that Adam knew so well has been stolen from his heart. We know Jesus Christ as our Savior, assuming that you're a Christian tonight and you've trusted in his finished work at Calvary. So what is God's conception of rest and peace and peace of heart in this life? The book of 1 Peter, and if you'd like to come there with me, please, 1 Peter, it was written to suffering Christians. And if we come to 1 Peter chapter 4, Peter is writing to these Christians. He's writing to correct a misunderstanding. And there's a familiar verse that we read in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 12. And tonight, I don't wish to be negative. I don't wish to give the impression that the Christian life is a life full of worries and woes and stress, etc. It's not. Living the life in this world at times just can be that way, whether you're a Christian or not. But for a Christian, there are special things God wants us to know. So we read this familiar verse in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 12. "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you." This is a correction of the thinking to these Christians that the Christian life is not a life on cloud nine. It's not you'll be healthy, wealthy, and wise and never have a problem to concern yourself with thereafter. It's certainly not. Sometimes we find it a little hard to comprehend why a Christian can be hurt. We see terrible accidents and illness and bereavements, etc. And sometimes our reaction is why, when something totally unforeseen, upsetting comes into a life of someone who is dear to us, or even perhaps our own circumstances. And Peter here is correcting this misconception that nothing bad will ever happen to a Christian. He said, "Think it not strange, unusual. Sometimes suffering, unpleasant matters will arise." And I think the devil uses that, you know, lie that I mentioned before to confuse and discourage Christians. "Why me, Lord?" But, you know, it's not like that. God warns us, and he says, "Fiery trials which are to try you." And Peter tells us even why he wrote this book. In this context that he's writing to the persecuted church, he says in the next chapter, chapter 5, and again in verse 12, he says this. Now, these people were suffering trials. They were being put to the test. And he says, "By Silvanus, a faithful brother unto you, as I suppose I have written briefly, exhorting and testifying that this is the true grace of God wherein ye stand." These people were standing in trials and some tribulation, etc. That was the true grace of God wherein they stand. Now, there's something also. Peter marvelously encourages these people with some words that firstly we find in 1 Peter chapter 1. Turn over to verse 6. He tells us about these temptations and trials and tests. In chapter 1 and verse 6, he says, "Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations." Now this word there, manifold, it only occurs in the scriptures twice. And it is the Greek word from where we get our English word multicolored. What he's saying to these persecuted Christians, he's saying the trials, the tests, the temptations that you're enduring, they're manifold. There's different shades and variations and facets of each trial that you will endure. Then toward the end of the book, over in chapter 4 and verse 10, we find the second time that this word occurs, this word manifold. In verse 10, he says, "As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God." He says, God's grace is just as multicolored and wonderfully faceted, different variations and shades as the trial and the test that you're enduring. There is a matching grace of God for the test and the temptation, the trial that has come upon you. He says there are manifold temptations, but he said God's grace is multicolored. It's manifold as well. So the nature of God's grace is not that it is only protective and many other facets of well, but the true nature of God's grace is that it sustains us through stress and worry and cares and anxiety, any trials that come upon us. And it is in this context that Peter writes verse 7 of chapter 5, where he says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Now, with this in mind, that's God's grace sustains us. He says, cast all your cares, for he careth for you. Now, in that verse, God is admitting something, and he's admitting it without saying it. It's just a given as the way the scripture is written. And what he is admitting is that Christians will have cares. Now, what cares is God talking about? The meaning of the word cares there is something that divides and distracts us, something that pulls us in two different directions. Now, the sort of care that God is talking about is something that draws us away, and we don't know which way to move or which way to step, and often that care will have the tendency to paralyze us in some situation. God is saying that the Christians have these kind of cares. Now, following this word through the Bible, we see that the New Testament talks about three types of cares that we have. And I think somewhere in the description of these cares, all our worries and anxieties, etc., that they fit in. So if we turn to Luke chapter 21 and verse 34, and the context here is the course of this age. Luke chapter 21 and verse 34. The Lord Jesus says, and take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unawares. Now, this is probably the same thing that we read in the Gospel of Matthew, where it calls it the cares of this world in Matthew 13. Christ is telling us here it is possible to be overcharged or overwhelmed with the cares of this life. So then what are the cares of this life? Well, there's going to be a lot of Bible turning tonight, but we need to follow this through. Could we turn please to Matthew chapter 6 and verse 25, and we see now the Lord's Sermon on the Mount. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? This is the cares of this life. And the cares of this life is just keeping body and soul together. You know, we all have to somehow pay the bills. We have to keep a roof over our family's head. We have to keep food upon the table. We have to ensure there's money for the vehicle and there's money for the fuel bowser. We have to ensure that our family is safe, and the cares of this life and just the simple need of earning a living, etc., can be heavy upon us. It is a product of living in a material world. And the Bible tells us that it is possible for us to just be overwhelmed with all these different issues that we're responsible for, just keeping it all together from day to day. Now, Ashley, do you remember the parable of Matthew 13 about the soils and the seed? And the ground that received the seed had thorns, and the seed was choked out. If we could turn, please, to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13 and verse 22. It says here in the parable of the soils, it says, he also that received seed among thorns, among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. The cares of this world can choke the seed, the word of God. So it's possible for us to come to church on a Sunday and be blessed and challenged mightily in the word of God. Then we turn up to work on Monday and the stress and the difficulty comes upon us, and perhaps by lunchtime the word is choked out. Our mind is no longer focused on God and his word and the walking with him, but it's focused on getting the job done and doing what we need to do in order to get a paycheck at the end of the week and then feed our family, etc., etc. The cares of this life can choke out the word of God. And 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your cares upon him, for he careth for you, I believe it is most certainly talking about these type of cares. So secondly then, we find cares also related to relationships. And come again with me, well not again, but come to 1 Corinthians chapter 7, please. Verses 32 and 33. Now to set the context here, the Apostle Paul says to some people, it is beneficial to remain unmarried rather than married in life. But he says in verses 32 and 33, he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, but I would have you without carefulness. He that is unmarried careth for the things that belongeth to the Lord, how he may please the Lord. But he that is married careth for the things that are of the world, how he may please his wife. Now, this points the finger to the wife, but let me tell you, relationships are not just about the marriage relationship and the wife's responsibility. It is the responsibility of two-way, the husband and the wife, the mother and the father. He's talking about relationships where that involve leadership in the home. There is spiritual discipline, there is physical discipline sometimes, spiritual leadership. There's decision-making responsibilities, emotional responsibilities, and that we have toward everyone that we are in relationships with, our children, our spouse, others around about us. All these additional responsibilities and cares that cause us to be anxious and worried. Sometimes these cares as well can overwhelm us. And then we find in 2 Corinthians 11, chapter 11, the third group of cares, if you like, and these third group of cares relate to ministry. So come now to chapter 11 of 1 Corinthians there. There's the cares of keeping everything together. There's the cares of relationship. And now we find the cares of ministry. And verse 28 says, but let a man... That's not the right reference. 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians, please, chapter 11. And verse 28. Now, this is the Apostle Paul telling the Corinthians all these worries, etc., or his responsibilities. And he says in verse 28, he says, well, let's go a little earlier than that. He says, he's telling them how often he's been in peril and danger, etc. Verse 26, in journeys often, in perils in waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the heathen, in perils of the city, of the wilderness, of the sea, of false brethren, in perils and painfulness, in watchings, in hunger and thirst, in fastings, in cold and nakedness, beside those things which are without, that cometh upon me daily, the thing that bears heavily me upon me is the care of all the churches. This is a ministry care. This is the care that comes upon us when we step out into service in the body of Christ. And it does not relate simply to those who are in leadership in the body of Christ. It relates to everyone who takes on a ministry and a work for Jesus Christ. It relates to the one who has a true burden for souls and the souls of their neighbor, the souls of their unsaved family. It relates to the Sunday school teacher who is responsible for that small flock that the Lord has given them each week to teach. It's the responsibility and the care that the youth group leader has. And it doesn't matter what your role is in the church, if you step out in service in the body of Christ, there is the care of this ministry. So then, let's try to wrap up then these cares. There is firstly the cares of life. That's just keeping body and soul and everything together. There's relationship cares within the family and different scenarios. And thirdly, there is ministry cares when we step out in service for the Lord. So the cares that Peter quotes in 1 Peter 5:7, where he says, casting all your cares upon him, for he careth for you, certainly includes all these cares that come upon the believer. The important thing is, of course, is what do we do with these cares? And the Lord hasn't left us uninformed on that. We've seen that the cares are interwoven in our life, and I don't think that you can live the Christian life and not have some of these cares come upon you from time to time. We're not to think it's strange. The Christian life is not the bed of roses. It's not the cloud nine. It's not the wonderful life that the evangelist will tell you on TV, or perhaps the devil will whisper about in your ear. You know, it is the life where we should not think it strange that fiery trials come upon us. But there is sustenance in that life. We're not to worry, but at the same time, we just can't ignore these cares. We just can't walk away when you step out in ministry for Christ, when you have a burden for souls. You just can't walk away. You can't walk away from the cares of keeping it together in this world, nor relationship cares. So then what do we do with them? Notice in 1 Peter chapter 5, there is a very strong action. Verse 7 of chapter 5, he says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Now we take our cares and we cast them upon him. Now we know that God holds us responsible and accountable for those things that he has entrusted unto us. And sometimes these things cause us cares, such as providing for our family, our service in the body of Christ, and our serving of him. Now, I know that God holds parents responsible for their children, and we're responsible within relationships, and sometimes burdens and cares come. So how can I then cast them upon God if he holds me responsible for them? If I have the responsibility, surely don't I also carry the burden of those cares? Well, let's see what the scripture says. If you'd like to turn with me, please, to Luke chapter 19. And we have in Luke chapter 19 an example of casting. Now this is the picture is here that the disciples have been requested to look at verse 30. Go into the village over against you, in which at your entering ye shall find a colt tied, whereon yet never man set. Loose him and bring him hither. And if any man ask you, why do ye loose him? Thus shall ye say unto him, because the Lord hath need of him. And they that were sent went their way, and found even as he had said unto them. And as they were loosing the colt, the owner thereof said unto them, why loose ye the colt? And they said, the Lord hath need of him. And they brought him to Jesus, that's the colt, and they cast their garments upon the colt, and they set Jesus thereon. Now they cast their garments upon the colt, and they set Jesus thereon. Of course, they didn't relinquish responsibility for their garments. They cast them upon the colt to provide a seat for Christ to sit upon. They cast their garments upon the colt. The colt carried the burden, but they were still responsible for that which they had cast on the colt. The colt carried the load, but they were still responsible. It was still their responsibility. They just couldn't walk away. When we cast our burden upon the Lord, we don't relinquish responsibility for it. We walk together with him. He carries the burden, the load, the weight, the worry, the care of it is not upon our shoulders, but we cast it upon his shoulders. But we are responsible. He doesn't relinquish of any responsibility, but he carries the burden. And that's the true grace of God that sustains a believer. Peter said, this is the true grace of God, wherein ye stand. Well then, how do we transfer our cares to the Lord? There is a practical process. Let's turn back to Philippians chapter 4, please. And Philippians chapter 4, and there's two words in here which are very pleasing. It says in verse 6, be careful. Be full of anxiety and worry and care. You know, that the flesh likes this. This is what we want to hear. I'm not going to pass my worry and care over. I enjoy worrying about this. This is my burden, my care, but be careful, the Lord says, for nothing. Our link with God is prayer. That's what it's speaking of in verse 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Should we rush into God's presence and unload all our burden and cares upon Him? No, I believe that is a lack of faith. You're probably familiar with the acronym regarding prayer, the acronym of ACTS, A-C-T-S. We come to Him and we adore. We come to Him and then we confess. We come to Him, we give Him thanks, and then, and only then, we lay our supplication before Him. Psalm 46:10, be still and know that I am God. Firstly, we need to cease. We need to stop the worry, stop the care, stop the thinking, and we need to be still before Him. We need to assume a spirit of prayer. Remember who God is. Be still, sit quietly, and know, be assured, He says, that I am God. We need to settle our spirit before the Lord. Before we are fit to say anything at all, we need to be still. Think about His great supply, His great grace, of the shepherd's great love for us. It says then that by prayer and supplication implies a suppliant coming and making a request. Now, a suppliant refers to someone who has tried it all and nothing's worked, and now they've got no recourse. They're at their wits' end, a suppliant. A suppliant comes and makes request, where if God doesn't come through, then they're done. We come as a suppliant in prayer and supplication. So what does God want us to do? He wants us to be quiet. He wants us to assume a spirit of prayer, a quiet frame of mind, meditating upon who He is, and admit and realize that I am needy and I approach Him as a suppliant. I have nowhere else to go. It is God and God alone. Then it goes on to say, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Now think about that for a moment. We are being put to it here. We are under strain and stress, the cares of this life. Perhaps they're heavy upon us. The trials, they are like the fiery furnace. And now it says, with thanksgiving. What does God want us to be thankful for? He wants us to be thankful for the trial. And I believe God wants us to be thankful that He can take the burden of the exact circumstance that we are in with prayer and supplication, and supplication with thanksgiving. We thank the Lord that He is able to bear the burden that we have. It is thanksgiving, thankful even for the trial. In the midst of the trial, it may be hard to understand, but we by faith know that all things work together for good. Now, notice what comes next. We get to make a request. Last of all, before we are ready to make our request, there has to be a work in our heart. We have to be still before God. We assume that spirit of prayer. We come as a suppliant. We come in utter need. We come with thanksgiving upon our heart. And only then do we get to ask the Lord for anything. And now we get to ask Him to carry the burden. When we are ready to cast our care upon the Lord, knowing by faith that He is able, capable, and will take that burden. Then we see here in verse 7 the result of that. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. There is the process. Literally, we can have God's peace. You know, a poet, he captured it this way. And I think he's got it pretty accurate. You listen. He says, broken at last, I bowed my head. Forgetting all myself, I said, whatever comes, thy will be done. And at that moment, peace was won. Well, broken at last, I bowed my head. That's be still and know that I am God. Whatever comes, I will be done, submitting unto him as a suppliant. And at that moment, peace was won. I heard this illustration many years ago that two artists were asked to paint their impression of the ideal rest and an ideal peace. One artist painted a serene scene deep in the forest of the pool without a ripple upon the surface, perfectly reflecting the trees and the jungle about. The other artist, he painted a mother bird tending her young in a nest. The nest was on the extended bough of a tree. The tree grew from solid rock, and that rock and that bough hung precariously over the great cavernous waterfall. You know, the Christian life is not the serene forest pool. The Lord didn't call us to cloud nine. We'll have cares and we'll have concerns. The Christian life is definitely the life that is lived over the cavernous drop. Step out in the Lord's service. Step out and ask the Lord what he would have you to do. You'll find that his grace will sustain you, that that branch of the tree is grounded into the rock, Christ and Christ alone. If God's grace is not adequate then we perish, but it is. And we'll find, as Peter instructed the Babylonian Christians to whom he was writing, that this is the true grace of God wherein ye stand. And I'm so thankful that the Lord has not left us uninformed and that he does not allow us to bear our burdens alone, but by his grace he bears us up and sustains us. And though we may be enduring manifold trials and temptations and tests, etc., and if we're not, they'll come our way, we know that God's grace is likewise. And there is a shade and a colour and a variation of grace that perfectly matches the trial and the test that that we will endure. So let's ask the Lord blessing. Well, let's thank the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, that, Father, in your word tonight, we, Father, see that, Lord, we are not to rush into thy presence. Father, we come humbly and quietly. We come, Lord, knowing that thou art God and there is none else. And, oh, Lord, we thank you for that wonderful statement, dear Father. We come, Lord, as suppliants, Father, knowing that, Lord, if thy grace is not sufficient, then, Lord, nothing is. And, Lord, we, Father, pray that as the trials come upon us, even in this coming week, may we, Lord, be strengthened and encouraged, knowing, Lord, that our rock stands firm and we stand firm upon the rock. We, Lord, do give you thanks now for all these things. In Jesus' name, amen.